This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Another awesome week of NFL action. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Sunday night by Matthew Friedman and Dr. Deepak Chona. Friedman, this was a wild week of games, as it seems to be every week. Maybe our craziest witching hour yet.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm just so focused on Justin Herbert massively underperforming and breaking my heart from a sports betting perspective. But other than that, a pretty cool week.
Not the most surprising thing that he underperformed given the rib injury. Pretty surprising that he was still in the game late in the fourth quarter when they were down by 28 points with your franchise quarterback. Not sure what they were thinking there. Dr. Deepak Chona, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Fantasy teams are right in line, so here for a good weekend.
Good stuff going on. For those watching the show live on YouTube, thank you. We will be here every Sunday night around 7:45 Eastern all season long. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all of our latest podcasts, short videos, live streams, and more. And for the folks listening on the podcast, don't forget that we are live each and every Sunday night, so you can watch us along with every other Fantasy Pros podcast over on our YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. A lot of injuries this week, unfortunately, the one downside of we saw here in week three. So Dr. Chona, I will just go right to you here. David Montgomery is the first guy I want to mention. He left early with the knee ankle injury. I'm not sure exactly what it was, something on the leg. Khalil Herbert looked great in his absence. Do you think this is going to be a long-term thing for Montgomery?
It sounds pretty promising that it's not going to be a long-term thing. Video looked like a high ankle sprain, and the fact that they're calling it knee and ankle makes me think he's probably going to miss one game, but it would be in that 0-1 range most likely for Montgomery.
Friedman, we're going to get more into Herbert a little bit later, but just off the cuff right here, where would you have him ranked in any week that Montgomery is not playing?
I mean, it's got to be an RB1. If not RB1, high-end RB2.
Next running back I want to talk about is Dalvin Cook. He left with, they said arm early. I think it ended up being a dislocated shoulder, which Deepak, I know you were worried about.
Yeah, this is a big deal for Dalvin Cook. I think he had a tear in there. And when you have a tear already, it makes it a little bit unstable. Now having the dislocation, that tear probably is bigger. So there's a good likelihood they can get him back. Usually in the 1 week or so is roughly what the recovery takes to get back acutely. So you may see him play next week, but the recurrence risk here is very high in season. So I'd be investing in Alexander Mattison at pretty much all costs.
Yeah. Friedman, I was going to bring up Mattison because he's basically the number one handcuff. At least he was going into drafts for a lot of people, maybe behind Tony Pollard, but he was certainly in that upper echelon. So same question as Herbert, where would he rank in any week that Dalvin Cook is not playing?
Yeah, you basically treat him as if he's Dalvin Cook, except he doesn't have another Alexander Mattison behind him. So rank him as if he's Dalvin.
A quarterback who got hurt very late in the game was Mac Jones. Deepak, it looked really bad when he was coming off the field. It was literally the very last few minutes of the game, and he couldn't put any weight at all on that left leg. What did you see, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, a video here looks like a high ankle sprain. The fact that he had negative x-rays means he'll probably get an MRI tomorrow. I'm expecting, based on his reaction, for it to be on the higher severity. And for position players, that usually means like 4 to 6 weeks. Quarterbacks can sometimes push that to the 2 to 4 range. So we'll know a little more after the MRI, but look for at least a multi-week absence here.
Friedman, this passing offense was already barely touchable. Is it completely untouchable in terms of fantasy if Mac Jones is out?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's about the same. Like, you know, Brian Hoyer, he seems like he'd be the one who would come in, but maybe at some point they would give Bailey Zappe a chance to see what, you know, the rookie can do. But, you know, Hoyer is a functional veteran. He would be fine, but there would be nothing special about the offense.
Another QB that gave us a scare did end up coming back in the game was Tua Tagovailoa. Deepak, he hit his head, so a lot of people thought it was a concussion. He was kind of wobbling. There was a tweet out there saying that it's actually his back kind of locked up, so that's why he was wobbling. He had sort of tweaked it earlier in the game. What do you think is the takeaway here?
Yeah, based on how fast he came back, then the fact that Rappaport was the one who put that tweet out on the about the back, I'm leaning towards that as the explanation. Back spasms are usually something that can recur for quarterbacks, but pocket QBs usually don't miss time. They can generally play through these things. So that's kind of what I'm expecting for Tua. No major performance impact, but there is going to be that risk for the next few weeks that these could recur.
And Deepak, another guy that I wanted to ask you about, even before the day started, was J.K. Dobbins, because we finally get to see him back on the field for the first time in 20 months. It has been a long road for this Ravens fan wanting to see him back on the field with that offense. He didn't look amazing, but he didn't appear to have any injury issues whatsoever. A bit of a pitch count, as you would expect coming back. Is this, you know, where would you rank this in terms of what you were hoping to see out of him in his first game back on the field?
Yeah, I think this is right within expectations. About 9 touches and a little over three yards per rush. And you're looking at J.K. Dobbins regaining his footing over the course of the next 4 weeks is usually how long they take running backs to ramp up their snap count. And then beyond that, you're looking towards the second half of the season when he really starts to pick up his explosiveness, his form. So probably looking like 85-90% of his old self by the week 10 to 12 range. But you're going to see the training wheels on him for the next probably 4 weeks.
Friedman, are you going to start Dobbins during this stretch when we think we'll see the training wheels on him? Or are you going to be sitting him until you're fully comfortable he's all the way back?
Yeah, I don't think you can start him unless you're absolutely desperate. Maybe, you know, if they ramp up the usage a little bit, he's getting 10 to 12 touches, in which case, yeah, like maybe he's flexible, especially in a good matchup. But you would hope to be able to start someone who's getting more usage.
One last guy quickly for you, Deepak. I didn't see a ton of information out on Michael Thomas. He did leave the game with a foot injury. Did you see anything here?
Yeah, well, the fact that he was testing it right after, before he went to the locker room, suggests kind of a milder severity. They did mention toe. So most likely we're dealing with a turf toe here. And for wide receivers, a lot of them, they are battling these during the year and often don't have to miss any games. We'll know a little bit more from the practice reports, and they'll probably get an MRI this week that we'll hear about. So usually 0 to 1 games, what we're looking at.
There were a number of names that left games but then ended up coming back. So I'll just run through them really quickly. Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, Dallas Goedert, Amon-Ra St. Brown. A lot of people in Miami, which appeared to be just because of the heat. There was a lot of cramping going on. So those guys all did leave their games, but they all did return. Just something to keep an eye on throughout the week in case there's any lingering effects. He is Dr. Deepak Chona. He will be back with us every single week. Friedman and I will be back in just a few seconds here, so don't go anywhere. Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all free when you're a premium subscriber to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download the My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device. Friedman, I promise that I'm not going to come on here wearing Ravens gear every time that Baltimore wins a game, but our number one headline of the day is about Lamar Jackson, so I felt it was only fitting to wear his jersey on this live stream. All we wrote down, and you actually wrote this down separately for me, but we had the same thought, is Lamar Jackson the fantasy QB1? Josh Allen has done nothing to lose that title so far, but Lamar's just looked unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up, I think, any given week moving forward, whether it's Jackson or Allen or Mahomes, you know, just kind of dependent on matchup. But in week three, Lamar Jackson on the road against the Patriots, who have a defense I respect, he put up 40.4 fantasy points. You know, great passing line, 218 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, just 1 interception. And again, over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown on the ground. He has 3+ touchdowns passing in all 3 games this year, back-to-back games with 100 yards rushing. You know, obviously Allen and Mahomes are great, but Jackson might be playing better than them right now. Like, he looks like 2019 MVP Lamar.
I think he honestly looks a little bit better. He has a worse supporting cast in terms of the offensive line, which does concern me, but he has looked just unbelievable. We put out a stat on the Fantasy Pros Twitter account earlier this afternoon, and it still is true after the late afternoon games. He leads the league in passer rating and in passing touchdowns, and he's 3rd amongst all players in rushing yards right now behind 2 guys who have like twice as many carries as him. So he has been unbelievable this season, both in fantasy and real life. A guy who was unbelievable today for our second headline was Khalil Herbert. Like we mentioned, put up a ridiculous stat line in the absence of David Montgomery. I'm totally with you. He's clearly NRB1 in games that Montgomery doesn't play. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about him other than he just looked incredible.
Yeah, handcuff extraordinaire. I think he's actually, I mean, we just kind of have to see how they split the backfield in Minnesota, because there are some other good runners there. But Khalil Herbert, like, he's it. If Montgomery is out, like, he is the guy who's going to be getting the super majority of the workload. And, you know, we talked about David Montgomery leaving early in week 3 with the ankle and knee injuries. And Herbert stepped up in a massive way, 29.9 fantasy points on 20 carries and two receptions. I mean, 169 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, Matt Eberflus said that Montgomery is day to day. He might not miss any games, but if he's out, I mean, we have to slot Herbert in as a fantasy RB1.
Do you think this performance was good enough that we might be in a position to consider starting him even when Montgomery is on the field? Do you think it's the type of thing that might make the Bears say we should be giving this guy more touches?
Maybe, but we can't do it. It's really risky to put him out there and start him as fantasy managers if we haven't seen that split yet. And he's got the talent to warrant that split. And it is a run heavy Bears offense that we're dealing with. So if they decide to go that route, there is the possibility that he could be flexible in those circumstances. But I'm skeptical until we actually see it.
Our third headline is Devontae Smith, who has gotten better every single week this season. Statistically, he obviously was super talented even coming into the year. Is he a fantasy wide receiver one? Not the wide receiver one, but a wide receiver one going forward?
Yeah, I mean, he had a strong rookie year last year, over 900 yards, 5 touchdowns receiving. He underwhelmed in weeks 1 and 2, you know, just 11 targets for 80 scoreless yards. Obviously, in week 3, totally different story. Went off a team high 12 targets, 169 yards and a touchdown. I think he's going to be inconsistent week to week, you know, given that the Eagles are likely to have run heavy game scripts. You know, they're going to be leading in a lot of games, and he needs to compete for targets with, you know, 2 really good pass catchers in AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert. But I think by the end of the year, he could have cumulative wide receiver 1 production. Like, he actually might be the T. Higgins to AJ Brown's Ja'Marr Chase.
That's a great comparison. And I was going to ask you, I think I know the answer, but AJ Brown still would be ranked ahead of Smith going forward. I think most people would feel that way. I just want to sort of confirm it.
Yeah, I believe so. But we just kind of have to see, you go where the usage dictates you go. And, you know, Devontae Smith has gotten significant usage over the past couple of weeks.
So far, surprisingly, this does look like an offense that can support 2 really impactful fantasy wideouts. And then our last headline of the day at the tight end position, Tyler Conklin. What we wrote down in the notes was, are you for real? He had 8 catches, 84 yards. This was not a name that I think was on a lot of people's radars coming into the year. Through 3 weeks, seems to be maybe a guy you can use.
Yeah, he was one of the players I highlighted in my week 3 favorites. Not because, like, I think he's actually like that good of a player or anything, but it's just tight end is a wasteland, and Conklin might actually be an oasis in the desert, right? It helps that Joe Flacco is dropping back to pass 52 times per game, seemingly every game. At some point, that's going to regress, and Zach Wilson is going to come back. But Conklin entered week 3 with an every down role and getting 8 targets per game. And then we saw him in week 3 play a lot of snaps and get another 8 targets. And, you know, he produced with those targets, 12.4 fantasy points, 84 yards receiving on 8 receptions. Like, that's not going to lead you to a fantasy championship, but everyone is desperate for tight end production right now. And you could do a lot worse than 8 targets per game. And Conklin is out there in a ton of leagues.
Really quickly, we know that Joe Flacco loves throwing to tight ends. Are you concerned that once Zach Wilson is back there, that this, you know, sort of dream start to the season for Conklin is going to fall off?
Maybe, but it helps that Conklin is out there every snap and running routes on almost every dropback.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ BBB rating. Auctions on PristineAuction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for $110. Deals like this are happening all the time on Pristine Auction, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use code FANTASY, one word. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register because there are deals ending every day. Again, that's code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia on pristineauction.com/register.
Matchup recaps.
Let's move to the rest of our slate here today. We'll start with Raiders at Titans. To me, the biggest takeaway here was Matt Collins, not a stat line I expected. 8 catches, 158 yards, and a touchdown was the clear wide receiver one for today, at least in terms of this game. What did you notice out of him? Did you see something that makes you think this is repeatable?
Yeah, I mean, it came in a game without number 2 wide receiver Hunter Renfrow, who was out with a concussion. So we have to keep that in mind. But Holland also had 8 targets last week in week 2, and he's locked into 3 wide receiver sets. So yeah, he needs to be rostered in most leagues, and he actually might be a viable starting option in deep formats.
On the flip side, Devontae Adams only had 36 yards. He did have a touchdown. This is now back-to-back weeks that he hasn't looked very great.
Yeah, I mean, you assume it's going to shake out. He had the 10 targets, so that's encouraging, but it's not all great in Las Vegas.
I'll just quickly note on the running backs, Josh Jacobs, 13 rushes, 66 yards, 5 catches. Despite being questionable going into this game, he traveled late to Tennessee. And then Derrick Henry, 20 rushes, 85 yards, also had 5 catches for 58 yards, not something we usually see out of him. Next game, Saints at Panthers. For the second straight week, we're talking about Chris Olave with 13 targets, 147 yards this time.
Yeah, I mean, in week 2, Olave had an obscene 334 air yards on 13 targets. You know, in week 3, he turned that usage into actual fantasy production. It's really encouraging for a rookie that he's already being used as if he's the number one wide receiver for the Saints.
I know we don't want to compare anybody to one of the great players in the game, and we'll talk more about Justin Jefferson later. But remember, his rookie season, it was week 3 that he had that blow up and then basically never looked back, was a wide receiver one the rest of the year. Is there any chance we see that out of Olave too?
I doubt it, because you do have other really good wide receivers there on the team. And also Alvin Kamara is going to get his fair share of targets. But Olave certainly has revealed himself to be someone who has a lot of upside.
CMC and Alvin Kamara in this game combined for 40 carries, but they only combined for 4 catches. These are two players that we know are really good at catching the ball out of the backfield, so hopefully those numbers go up moving forward. But the other guy I want to ask you about is DJ Moore, because for like the 3rd straight week, we got a lot of tweets saying, should we be considering dropping him, actually, not just benching him, but dropping him? 6 targets, 1 singular catch for 2 yards, obviously not a touchdown. Woof.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned him on the Friday matchup show as someone that you would probably want to downgrade. That we had a tough start sit decision with him because of the matchup. And I mean, we saw that come to bear. It gets better. Arizona next week, week 4, you start DJ Moore next week.
I have a lot of shares of DJ Moore, so I certainly hope it is going to get better. Chiefs at Colts, one of the surprise upsets of the day. The fantasy takeaway I had, because this is a pretty low scoring game, was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 7 rushes for 0 yards, but he did score a touchdown.
It's unbelievable. This is gross, right? He saved his day with the touchdown. He had some receiving production, had 5 targets, which he turned into 39 yards on 5 receptions, but he lost carries to backups Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco, and he was outrushed by seemingly everyone on the team. Here's another way of looking at it. He led the team in carries, and yet he somehow managed to outrush nobody. That is unfathomable. And this performance came against a team missing all-pro linebacker Shaquille Leonard. You know, like this is just, it's not Edwards-Helaire, it's Edwards horrible. I screwed that up. That's not good. That's not a good pun. It's a horrible pun. It's Edwards-Helaire horrible pun. But this is I just need to stop talking now. Save me.
A for effort, D minus for execution.
Absolutely.
Patrick Mahomes actually led the Chiefs in rushing yards today to give you a sense of how bad the rushing attack was from Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster, 5 catches for 89 yards. A nice game from him. Michael Pittman Jr. returned to the field, 8 catches, 72 yards. No concerns there, I would assume, long-term. Jonathan Taylor, any concerns? Not that he had a horrific day. He wasn't Clyde Edwards horrible, but 21 rushes, 71 yards. Certainly not what you're expecting from a guy that was a top two pick in every league.
No, I mean, obviously the fantasy production wasn't what you'd want, but he had 21 carries and 5 targets. Like that's super elite. Just you would take that every week.
We already talked about Lamar Jackson in our next game, Ravens at Patriots. Ravens, of course, the victors there. So I want to ask about Mark Andrews. We asked if Lamar is the QB one going forward overall. Is Mark Andrews tight end one ahead of Travis Kelce? He had 8 catches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. The way that Lamar is playing and knowing that Andrews is his favorite target, that's a pretty compelling case.
Yeah, 13 targets in that game. He's not just the number one receiver on the team, and by a healthy margin, yeah, he should be moving forward. The default fantasy tight end one in rankings moving forward, unless you know there's something compelling about the matchup for Kelce or for Andrews. But I mean, his target volume is elite. The prolific output of his offense is nearly unrivaled. Yeah, he has to be the tight end one moving forward. That's just like your default no-brainer. Think about it. And then you look more at the context to see if you bump him down to number two.
What's your concern level with Rashad Bateman? Third straight week, he produced the first two, but this is the third straight week that he hasn't had a lot of targets.
Yeah, he's not going to have a lot of targets. They're using something of a wide receiver rotation. And I think they're just kind of working him into the system, but it's clear like Mark Andrews is the number one option and everyone else is kind of like fighting to see how significant they can make the number two role.
Just sticking with the Ravens for one more player here. I want to ask a little bit about Justice Hill because he had 6 carries for 60 yards. He only got one fewer carry than Dobbins. Dobbins was the starter early in the game, but Hill looked like the better running back. Should fantasy managers be considering picking him up at all?
I'm super skeptical about that. I mean, yeah, he did have a nice run, broke off a 34 yarder, got some chunk yardage, but I mean, I'm really doubtful that he actually ends up overtaking J.K. Dobbins, but it is notable that he was the number two back. It wasn't Kenyon Drake. It wasn't Mike Davis. It was Justice Hill. And so that means he should probably be rostered. I don't think you start him, but he should be rostered.
Drake was a healthy scratch today. Ramondre Stevenson, 73 yards and a touchdown. Damian Harris, 41 and a touchdown. Devontae Parker, 5 catches, 156 yards. To me, that was just a result of going up against a battered down secondary that has really not been able to stop anybody the last 2 weeks. Game number 5, Texans at Bears. We talked about Khalil Herbert already. So I want to ask sort of on the other side, Justin Fields, 8 of 17, 106 yards, 2 interceptions. He has attempted 45 total passes through 3 weeks of the 2022 season. I mean, I don't want to ask if he's droppable because I know the upside's there. And if you're in a league where you're owning him already, you're probably not wanting to drop your backup quarterback. But how droppable is he?
He's droppable. I mean, he's eminently droppable given how little he's actually throwing the ball. And it's not as if they're using him in a souped up way as a runner. Either, you know, yeah, he did have 8 carries, but like if he's not throwing the ball, you would hope to see him have like 15 carries or something like that. So yeah, he's very droppable. The guy who really catches my eye in this game is on the other side, running back Damian Pierce. Again, 20 carries, like just dominating the backfield, and he had 2 targets, which he turned into 21 yards. So over 100 yards in total for the second week in a row, well ahead of number two running back Rex Burkhead. You know, he's locked in as a fantasy RB2 at this point.
Do you think there's upside for fantasy RB1 season or is it going to be 2?
I think it's RB2 in part because the Texans offense leaves a lot to be desired. So it's hard for a back really to outperform if he's in an offense that is just dragging him down, but he's getting enough usage each week to be a pretty solid RB2.
Want to take a quick second to remind the listeners that if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Our next game was the one that probably most people were most excited about coming into the week, Bills at Dolphins. Dolphins ended up winning one in, I know they're 2-0, but still pretty clearly an upset here. Fantasy takeaway, Isaiah McKenzie had 76 yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, 7 catches, 74 yards. Diggs was one of those guys who came off for a short bit with the cramping and that heat.
Yeah, Isaiah McKenzie is the guy who really caught my eye with the 9 targets. In weeks 1 and 2, McKenzie and wide receiver Jamison Crowder split time in the slot. They cannibalized production from each other. Both had just 6 targets for 4 receptions. They were basically useless for fantasy. But in week 3, McKenzie obviously separated himself, really outperformed with the 9 targets to just 3 for Crowder. And, you know, he displayed, you know, an overall playmaking skill set that Crowder just doesn't have. So if McKenzie really starts to see regular usage, that's awesome for him, awesome for the Bills offense, great for quarterback Josh Allen, probably pretty bad for people who are invested in number 2 wide receiver Gabe Davis.
Yeah, unfortunate for them. Jaylen Waddle, 104 yards, 4 catches. Tyreek Hill, only 33 yards. Not really any long-term concern there. I want to ask you which running back performance you thought was more significant for fantasy. Devin Singletary getting 9 catches out of the backfield. He had 78 yards receiving and a touchdown. Or Chase Edmonds only getting 6 carries but scoring both touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt that Edmonds is going to have that kind of touchdown conversion rate moving forward. It is encouraging to see a back used heavily in the receiving game the way Singletary was, but he's not going to get 9 targets on a regular basis in any game this season. So I'm kind of discounting both performances. It's more meaningful that we saw Edmonds really get very little usage.
Eagles at Commanders. We already talked about Devontae Smith, and we talked about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes sort of being that upper echelon of fantasy quarterbacks. Should Jalen Hurts be in that conversation, or is he at the top of the next tier?
I don't know. I mean, Jalen Hurts, like, pretty routinely is being ranked in the top 3 in our expert consensus at Fantasy Pros. I'm pretty sure he was there this week. If he wasn't, he was like number 4. I mean, like, he's right there. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And, given how we've seen the Eagles play, like, Hurts is right there in the MVP discussion as well.
Yeah, the MVP discussion and the fantasy MVP discussion. Yes. Seems like
the real MVP discussion.
The MVP that we care about. Yeah. On the other side of that game, Carson Wentz, he stinks out loud. 25 of 43, 211 yards, no interceptions, got sacked a bunch, looked overall not very good. Antonio Gibson, another week of decent volume, but not decent production, but then also falling into the end zone.
Yeah, and Terry McLaurin looked good on the 9 targets, which he turned into 102 yards receiving. It was nice to get that kind of performance from him, but, like, he was still out-targeted by wide receiver Curtis Samuel, and running back J.D. McKissic had 9 targets. Wide receiver Jahan Dotson had 8 targets. So in terms of overall talent, McLaurin might be like a top 12 overall wide receiver, but it just seems clear that with the way the Commanders are spreading the ball around this year, he's not going to dominate the offense the way that he did in previous years.
Lions at Vikings. We're now 3 weeks in, and Detroit is one of the highest scoring offenses in football. So that's been really fun and also surprising. Jamal Williams, 20 rushes, 87 yards, and 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Swift just had the 7 carries for 31 yards.
Yeah, I mean, Swift is dealing with that ankle injury. That's going to linger for a little bit of time. So Williams is getting the opportunity to contribute in significant ways. Entering week 3, he had a league-high 7 carries inside the 10-yard line. He had 13 combined carries plus targets in each of weeks 1 and 2, and then obviously went off in week 3 with the extra workload on the 20 touches. Like, he is a viable flex option each week because this Lions offense, they like to run, and they can support that type of production with how prolific they are.
Yeah, the fact that Williams was leading the NFL in carries inside the 10-yard line even before this game was pretty wild. Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne each caught touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, 3 catches for 14 yards. We came on the show in week 1 and said there's a very real chance that he should have been ranked wide receiver 1 going into this year, even ahead of Cooper Kupp. The last 2 weeks now, he has not looked like that, and you know, week 3, week 1 looks like the outlier here. I'm not saying that I think Justin Jefferson is going to be bad, but should we be, if not panicking, at least concerned?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit concerned, not because of his talent, but because of the way that they're spreading the ball around. And I don't think that the Lions were really doing anything to take Justin Jefferson away. It's just that other guys were able to get open against the Lions because they're the Lions, you know? So I think it was just throwing to the open man, but Jefferson still, you know, I think a top three fantasy wide receiver in terms of how you rank him.
Yeah, week three is always interesting because week one is overreaction week. And then week two, you don't know which of the weeks is the one that's kind of fishy. Week three, you start to see a pattern develop. So certainly we hope he turns it around soon and looks more like the guy we saw in week one. Last game on our early slate, Bengals at Jets. Cincinnati finally gets a win. Breece Hall had 11 targets. He only had 6 catches for 53 yards, but he's getting a lot of looks in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, through 3 games, he has 21 carries and 21 targets. Now, that receiving usage is almost certain to regress, but his rushing workload is also probably going to increase at some point. But either way, we're looking at a rookie running back getting 14 opportunities per game. Like, that's someone who's going to have my attention.
I believe this was the first game that he outsnapped Michael Carter too. So something to look going forward in that committee. Joe Burrow had 275 yards, 3 touchdowns. Most of that production came in the first half. T. Higgins left and then came back into the game after that scary looking hit. He also was robbed of an incredible touchdown catch that should have counted. He ended up with 5 catches for 93 yards. Jamar Chase had 10 targets, only 29 yards. He did find the end zone. And then Tyler Boyd, 4 catches, 105 yards and a touchdown. Are you considering ranking Boyd an area where you would consider starting him as long as Higgins and Chase are still on the field, or is he strictly a really high-end wide receiver handcuff?
Yeah, he's a handcuff, and I would say in deeper leagues he's certainly a flex option if you just need it, especially during the bye weeks. You know, we're starting to get with the bye weeks in range. At that point, you will start to consider Boyd as someone you'd want to slot into your lineup. But he had, I believe, just 5 targets in this game. Obviously, he had a whole bunch of production on that 5 targets, but that's the kind of usage you can't really count on.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about FanDuel. Football season is here, and if you've never bet on the NFL before, there's never been a better time to give FanDuel Sportsbook a shot. Because right now, you can sign up, place your first real money wager of $5, and receive $150 in free bets instantly, regardless of if your bet wins or not. That's right, you'll get $150 in free bets regardless of the outcome. FanDuel gives you so many bets to choose from. There are same game parlay bets, player props, futures, and so much more. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up at FanDuel.com/FP150. Receive your $150 win site credits after you place a $5 wager on any market. It is a no-brainer heading into Monday night's matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Louisiana, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-770-STOP. New York customers, for help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. New Jersey, Illinois, Virginia, and Pennsylvania customers, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 3, West Virginia customers, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Iowa customers, if you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Tennessee customers, for problem gambling support, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Michigan customers, gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Arizona customers, gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. Connecticut customers, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Indiana customers, for help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado and Wyoming customers, gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. 4 games here in the late afternoon slate. Jaguars at Chargers, probably the most surprising upset, unless you consider Herbert's, you know, limited status to be a real significant play there. I know you were not happy about it from a betting perspective. Trevor Lawrence, 28 of 39, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had a couple rushing attempts as well. He looks like the real deal, and he has since week one.
Yeah, Lawrence, he looked good in week 3, and he's looked good up to this point. You know, I was so focused on Justin Herbert entering week 3 that I kind of forgot about Lawrence, but he's legit. In weeks 1 and 2, he was the number 4 quarterback in the league in composite expected points added and completion percentage over expectation. Like, that is a real stat. Like, he's up there with the best quarterbacks in the league right now. And then in week 3, he went against a strong Charger secondary and took it to them. Like, he might not be a weekly fantasy starter yet, but he's definitely in the streaming conversation each week. And I think he's right on that QB1, QB2 borderline.
I believe we had James Robinson as RB18 rest of season heading into week three. Were we too low?
I don't know. It's tough because we can't really count yet on the Jags offense. Like each week that we see them improve, then you trust in James Robinson a little bit more, but he still has Travis Etienne behind him. But yeah, I mean, we need to move him up incrementally each week we see him outperform.
Speaking of running backs, Austin Eckler did have 8 catches, but he only had 4 rushes for 5 yards. What's the panic meter there?
It's bad. It feels very bad. I mean, let's say if it's 1 to 10, like I'm probably at like a 7.9.
I think that's unfortunately pretty reasonable. Next game, Rams at Cardinals. What was the takeaway here? This game was closer than I expected it to be, but not quite as high scoring.
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Brown, 17 targets, which he turned into 14 receptions, 140 yards. Now, obviously, 17 targets, that's not like a reasonable projection for any given week moving forward. But through 3 weeks, he has 34 targets. He's the clear number one receiver for the Cardinals, and they're likely to have pass-heavy situations moving forward. Even when DeAndre Hopkins returns from his suspension, I think Brown actually might end up being the wide receiver atop the depth chart.
3 different receivers in the Arizona offense had at least 10 targets in that one to give you a sense of how much Kyler was throwing the ball. And Cam Akers looked like RB1 in this backfield. He did have the fumble at the goal line. You cross your fingers as a fantasy manager that that's not going to be held against him by Sean McVay, but it certainly wouldn't be the first time.
No, it was great usage for him. And, you know, he looked a little more explosive. I thought, you know, 12 carries for 61 yards, did have the touchdown. Excellent usage. You're starting to feel like you can use Cam Akers if you need to.
Cordarrelle Patterson had a big day in our next game, Falcons at Seahawks. 17 rushing attempts, 141 yards, and a touchdown. He also had a really sick-looking hurdle that just was like very aesthetically pleasing. Were we too low on him going into the year when pretty much everybody and their mother was screaming regression?
Yeah, I mean, I say the industry was too low. Like, I've been high on Cordarrelle Patterson for the entirety of his career. So, like, I was probably too high on him, like, the first 6-7 years and, like, appropriately high on him this year. But it's still inconsistency. Like, that's what we're going to see. Like, he was, you know, kind of underwhelming in week 2. He had 41 yards on 10 carries and 1 target. So I was skeptical that we would get to see him play as a lead back this week, but you know, he did it. The Falcons had a run heavy game script and Patterson had 17 carries and a target too. So he was the team's primary playmaker. Again, he's going to be inconsistent on a week to week basis, but barring injury, he should finish with another 1,000 yards and double digit touchdowns because that is the way that they are using him.
It wasn't a huge blow-up spot we were hoping for from Kyle Pitts, but he did lead the team in both targets and receiving. Marcus Mariota only threw the ball 20 times, so there just wasn't a lot of passing yards to go around. Drake London did find the end zone again. He, like Olave and like Garrett Wilson before the injury, just all these rookie receivers look like really good early impact guys.
Yeah, London looks great. It's not like just the usage, but like he looks the part. He looks like a real number one wide receiver.
Rashad Penny, 14 carries, 66 yards. Tyler Lockett, 9 catches, 76. DK Metcalf, 5 catches, 64. And a touchdown, not much takeaways there. Sort of roughly in line what we expected, but just to mention them. And then our last game, Packers at Bucks. A lot of people looked at this game and saw Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady and said we got two guys who looked fairly washed. I mean, we've been calling Tom Brady washed for like 7 years, so I certainly don't want to say he's finished, but did not look good in this game, and neither did Rodgers really.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of a predictable game in the way that it played out. You know, the over-under had moved down on the week, and you have two quarterbacks who have offensive lines that are, you know, fairly injured, diminished wide receiver groups, run-heavy offenses going against two defenses that have great secondaries. You know, like, you kind of expected this game to be low-scoring, and we saw that. But, you know, Romeo Doubs, he really stood out to me. 8 targets. He turned that into 8 receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. In week 3, the Packers were without Sammy Watkins, without Christian Watson, and that gave Doubs a chance to play as a regular in 3 wide sets, and he smashed with that opportunity, 17.3 fantasy points. You know, the Packers are likely to remain a run-focused team for the entirety of the season, but Doubs has a very real chance to emerge as the number one receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
I just noticed this looking at the box score. I didn't realize before. Aaron Jones, 12 rushes for 36 yards. A.J. Dillon, 12 rushes for 32 yards. Leonard Fournette, 12 rushes for 35 yards. Yeah. That could not have been more close together. Which of those lines was your favorite?
They all tasted about the same to me.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in live. If you watched us on YouTube, please be sure to remember all the awesome opportunities we mentioned today with FanDuel and Pristine Auction. Thank you to Friedman and Deepak for joining me tonight, as they do every Sunday, all football season long. For them, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros. What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.